You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the problem with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Ben Simmons.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's over, bro.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Ben Simmons.
He never intends to put on a Sixers uniform again. Is that what he told you, Doc Rivers?
Well, I didn't say it in that word, but we intend to get Ben back.
Earlier on the show, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, NFL Network analyst Steve Smith Sr., actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Coming up, IndyCar Series driver Graham Rahal. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and I just did something that I haven't done in a long time and that I used to do all the time around these parts, which is go to our green room and see a guest sitting in it, and me saying, hello, thanks for coming.
Hey, what's happening?
Can't wait to get you back out here. And it's Graham Rahal.
Did you remember how to do it?
Dude, it was just awesome. It's good to see him, and it's a big time for him and racing in general, because the Grand Prix of Long Beach, the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, the IndyCar season finale is this Sunday. And he's in town. He's, like, coming to visit us. He's double vaxxed. We're all double vaxxed. It's great. And I just let Graham know, because I always shoot him straight. Certainly he's an Ohio State guy, and he's had the upper hand, which is saying something that is obvious and perhaps not truly even accurate, give you the full concept of how upper his hand has been. So I just let him know, hey, we all just got tested yesterday. We're all negative. So if we get it, it's on him. And he accepts that. You know, just shot him straight.
That's a little aggressive, but
is it? Hey, welcome. We're all negative. If we get it, okay. Thanks for coming. Did you like that, Chris? You didn't expect that one coming, did you?
I didn't really see that coming.
I love this guy. It's just great to see his face, and he's just a good dude, and he's a friend of the program, and a friend, and human interaction. It's great. We're about to have it.
It's great.
Awesome.
Graham also on the list of taller than you'd think he'd be in person.
Aha. He is one of those guys.
He's on that list.
Yeah. I know. He is taller than you think he's in person. I'm one of those people. I get that a lot.
You do?
I do, because you only see me from the belly button up, literally, all the time. And I'm not Chris Mannix, for instance.
No, Mannix is Mannix one of those also guys. On the list.
Much taller.
Yeah, much taller than
if I needed like two more inches to be... to in your category. I'm 6 feet. A lot of people think I'm like 5'8", 5'9", 5'10".
No, you're a true 6 feet.
I'm a 6 feet.
A lot of people like me just say they're 6 feet. You're a true 6 feet.
What are you?
I'm probably more in the 5'11 range.
Is that right?
But in high school, I was 6'1 my senior year.
Is that where you were listed?
Yeah. Just intimidation factor, really.
You're like 6'2", right, TJ?
What?
Three.
What are you? Oh.
Whoa.
Damn. We'll
sell him an inch short.
Damn.
I need those inches, baby.
TJ's a big guy.
Yeah.
And good to see you, TJ. Good to see you, Brock.
Hey,
Rich.
Hey, buddy.
And then the wee man, Mike Del Tufo.
Mike is actually 5'8 on a good day.
Mike's got a boat, though, right, Mike? So you got that going.
He's got two boats.
No, I have one.
Mike is literally the personification of everybody I grew up with, essentially.
Liars?
Wow.
Oh, sorry.
Whoa. Is that allowed? You're an a-hole.
Is this thing on?
I was about to say, excuse me. Excuse me.
Sorry, that's my bad.
Excuse me. I was about to say, sweetheart people who are excellent at what they do, who occasionally stretch the truth.
F Tom Brady now. I hate Tom Brady again. Now I'm done.
Mike, I'm sorry. That wasn't in good faith.
Do you have any injury updates for me? Do you got anything? You got nothing over there.
What do you got?
Is Dalvin Cook practicing today?
He did not practice yesterday.
I know that. I don't know if the Vikings have sent out their list yet today.
Dalvin Cook did not participate Wednesday. We don't know about Thursday.
All right, we're going to keep an eye on that. So what do you know then? What do you know?
Okay, so here's what I do know.
Yeah, what you know?
Remember how we've been talking all week about Lamar Jackson's flip into the end zone? Mm.
Did he get fined?
He did not get fined, but he did not practice today because he is still sporting a sore hip from said flip.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
To me, flipping's the dumbest thing. Like, you know me, I'm pretty easy on stuff.
Yeah.
Why? The flip makes no sense. So, like, you might as well just let a linebacker pop you if you're going to do a flip and land on your back or your hip.
Let me tell you, this is a good story. Because I'm, you know, I've been fortunate to do what I do for a living for a long time, certainly with the NFL Network. And I've been around some Hall of Famers, and I've heard a lot of comments. We have on tomorrow's show, Sean Merriman's on tomorrow. Remember?
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Lights out.
Lights out. And do you remember what his sack celebration was?
Flipping the switch.
It was, he has on one of his forearms a tattoo of a light switch.
Yep.
And so he would flip the light switch. Okay. He would make this movement that I don't want to do because it definitely would not be artful and would provide a gif that I don't want to see
anymore.
When
you'd probably hurt yourself.
Wow.
To that point, I'm on Total Access and we're watching Merriman do his celebration. I don't know why we're doing that. I don't remember the construct or the context. I just remember Rod Woodson sitting there and saying, I don't know why he's doing that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, that would tire me out. And I'm like as a fan watching, he goes, no, like physically. Right. Tire me out. Like, you need your energy for every play in the NFL. Literally every play. And to waste your energy like that, I'd be winded. Like, I'd be wiped. Like, that would, to keep doing that. He goes, later on in his career, he's going to stop doing that. He's going to have to stop doing that. And anytime I hear a story like what you've just told me, I think of Rod Woodson saying that. Like, why are you flipping in the end zone?
Yeah.
Like, you are a guy who's running the ball all the time. You are a guy who neck up must, I can't imagine how exhausted he must be at the end of the day. Seriously, think about it. Lamar Jackson has to think neck up, play call, coverage, right? Mm-hmm. Snap the ball, then he's got to be read. And then
run.
Most likely react.
Yeah.
And then while reacting, must look out for every single human being who's very fast and strong come after him.
Trying to kill you.
And then he's got to utilize his neck up ability to realize that the rest of his body needs to get down on the ground or yeah. out of bounds, yeah. right?
Yes.
So why would you, instead of just strolling in the end zone, flip in the air? And we're thinking he's just youthful and he's terrific. He's Lamar Jackson. You're telling me he is right now not on a practice field in an NFL season getting ready for the Detroit Lions. Say what you want any given Sunday. They're all Alabama, from what I heard. That you're telling me he's not practicing because he flipped in the end zone and he's sore from it? He's hurt?
That is what's being said.
Oh, my word. Crazy.
Crazy.
Lamar, just walk it in. Walk it in.
I think that's the last time he flips this
year?
Yeah.
Ever in his life, walk it in. You're going to need the energy.
Imagine if he missed a game because of
that. He won't.
I know. I'm sure he won't, but... All right, Josh Jacobs, we know, did not play last week. He did participate in practice today, but in a non-contact jersey. because of that ankle and toe issue.
It's toes, man. Yeah. Did you see Deion got? He finally got his surgery on his foot. That's why he retired, everybody.
Yeah.
It wasn't knee. It wasn't anything. He retired because he had a turf toe. And his foot
is gross.
Oh, my God. When he took his shoe off, we would all make fun of him until we realized just how much pain he's in.
It's not pretty.
Hope he's out of pain right now.
All right. Carson Wentz did not practice today. He's still dealing with sprains to both ankles.
Yes, sir.
Reports going around today that Frank Reich wouldn't rule out a two-quarterback situation with Jacob Eason and Brett Hundley.
Here we go, man.
This weekend.
Here we go. Here we go.
Against the Titans.
Against the Titans.
Division game.
All bets are off. Here we go. Indianapolis special. It's coming. Oh, boy.
That doesn't sound good.
What else?
Hollywood Brown has been having a good start to the year. He did not practice today as well, with an ankle issue. Kenny Golladay, I don't know when we'll see him. Hip, did not participate much, is the quote, in Thursday's practice. Odell Beckham. He's going to be a game-time decision Sunday against the Bears, coming back from that knee injury. Antonio Gibson, full participant today, shoulder issue. And Tyrell Williams has been thrown on injured reserve, dealing with a concussion.
Okay. It's not okay, but I hope he's
all
right.
Okay, but yeah.
Okay. Did you see the quote that Vic Fangio, Denver Broncos head coach, let everyone know? What Urban Meyer told him after
the game.
It's really
good. It's really good.
In Jacksonville after the Broncos had their second consecutive bang thing performance. Broncos look good. They are the leaders in the but who have they played clubhouse 2 weeks into the NFL?
Well, maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's right, because the Jets are coming in. Urban Meyer told Vic Fangio after the game that, quote, every week it's like playing Alabama in the NFL. To which I responded, I thought about it. This is done with the ultimate of respect. This is the reason why Nick Saban is at Alabama. Part of it.
I thought you were just going to laugh.
No, I'm not laughing. It's he knows how tough this thing is. And the entire season, you know how I say there's a week-to-week storyline in the NFL, and there's the storyline arc for every team and certainly for every season. The storyline arc for this season is, can Brady do it again? That's the storyline arc for the 2021 season. And then every team's got their storyline arc for the entire season and the week-to-week. The storyline arc for the Packers season is, how's it going to all play out with Rodgers? Will it end up with him staying, wanting to stay, and the Packers figure that he should stay? And, you know, these are examples. The Jaguars season arc is, how is Urban Meyer going to be in the NFL as a head coach in professional football? That whatever made him successful in college are grown-ass men who make millions of dollars going to buy it. Are they going to want their DOR? Are they going to hear that Urban telling them that their grandmother wants to play football and fly jets? Honestly, you know? It's just like, how are you going to buy what the drill sergeant is going to say, or you're not? And how's he going to handle it? And I'm telling you, you're going to be hearing more and more first couple weeks, the whispers you hear, are the guys that he brought from his college world, are they cutting it out? Are they cutting out? Cutting it? Are the NFL coaches that are there going to be something that he needs to lean on a little bit more? How's he going to adjust week to week? Are they 0-2 just because they were a team that lost their last 15 games last year, and it doesn't matter what Urban's going to bring to the table, that they all have to grow together? Week to week, that is the story, while the storyline arc is, how is he going to handle? And then you hear a quote like saying, they're all Alabama. Yeah, they're all Alabama in the NFL. Marshall Faulk told me the story about being there in the backfield, in the huddle, every day in Peyton Manning's rookie season, in which Peyton Manning, the GOAT, sheriff of Indianapolis and Denver, and on my Mount Rushmore of NFL quarterbacks that we talked about yesterday, Marshall says, as Peyton threw 27 interceptions, he heard Peyton Manning say the same thing week after week without saying anything, which is, Peyton, as he came off the field, said to Marshall or anybody, I didn't think he could get there. meaning the defensive back who just picked off the pass. Until Marshall, at some point, just decided to say, Peyton, it's the NFL. Everyone can get there. Essentially, you're not in Tennessee anymore. And the fact that you're hearing a comment that sounds like a realization, like, wow, is going to only play into the sense that he's not ready for it. I don't buy that. I think this guy is smart enough to know that he needs people to tell him whatever he needs to know. And if it is a learning curve, he'll get through it. Now, a lot of people think he will be hearing the siren song of Southern California. I don't think so either. That would stun me if that's the way that this thing plays out in Jacksonville. But a comment like this only serves as the losing continues to say, is he ready for this and cut out for it? They're all Alabama in the NFL.
Yeah, right. Yep. You mentioned...
some less than.
You mentioned the Peyton Manning, the 27 picks his rookie year. Trevor Lawrence has 5 already in 2 games. You think Trevor Lawrence gets to 30 picks this year?
Well, I don't think it's any comparison right now than my quarterback, right? I think Zach threw one in
the
week 1.
Five. They each have 5.
Yeah. He just had 4-1, which sounds like the worst football shampoo ever. 4-1.
4-1.
All those picks.
Not great.
It conditions, it cleans, and you see ghosts. Speaking of which, Sam goes for 3-0 tonight.
Oof.
Good for him.
I think Sam's getting that 3-0.
Okay, let's take a break. A human being is about to appear from the guest room here in person. Wow. I get to actually look to the chair to my right and see something other than just an empty chair.
I hope the microphone works, Rich.
Well,
I'm scared a little.
Graham Rahal will fill it up, buddy. Can't wait. 6-time IndyCar Series winner Graham Rahal in person next. Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Here I go. I feel like I should put on a fire suit to do the Rich Eisen show every day. Like I'm putting out fires all the time.
Are you nervous?
What's up, man? How are you?
What's going on?
Good to see you.
You too.
Mario still
have it?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Oh yeah.
Same
I just give you the
up. I'm really in here.
Yes, you are.
And we'll get you guys right before you go to teach some fresh air, son.
Why do you do this for a living? Are you out of your mind?
He definitely did not take it easy on me. I mean, we zipped right out, and I thought to myself, why am I going to do this? How long is it going to last? The best part about it, though, is that I did not, I think, show any fear. You're going to check the GoPros. My eyes weren't wide. I even gave a thumbs up at one point.
As good as it gets.
Rich?
All in one swallow.
The winner. All in one swallow?
All in one swallow.
And it's good for your hair, by the way.
You are the winner. You are the winner.
Act like you've been there before. That's what they say. Love you, man. This is great. An honor. Thank you.
Good. Great support.
Oh, boy. That was great back in the day. Brockman, when you did that ride.
Yeah, I did it. In like
the reason why I wanted to make sure I didn't have any fear is because your eyes were wide as saucers, man.
Yeah. It was terrifying.
Your eyes were completely
I did it with,
wide.
With Mario back in the day. And, you know, we were an inch away from concrete walls going 200 miles an hour, and I was scared for my life.
So I just wanted to make sure I was not, but it kind of felt like I was on a roller coaster the entire time. Yeah. So
it was nuts.
We're back here on NBC Sports on Peacock, and now we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio audience, one big happy simulcast family, and I'm looking to my right and seeing one of my favorite people to be here as an in-studio guest, and he's here as an in-studio guest. This is amazing to see you, Graham Rahal, in advance of the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach that goes down this Sunday in the IndyCar season finale. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. Thank you.
Good to see you. How's your family? How's everything?
Everything's great. Baby girl's 10 months old now, almost 11 months.
Dude.
Just growing like crazy.
That is so cool.
Understanding what life is now really all about.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Right.
But, no, it's been great.
What's her name?
Harlan.
Harlan.
Harlan Ann. Yep.
Harlan Ann Rahal.
So, it's been cool. She's been able to travel to most of the races, you know, which has been good. Because I mean, travel is kind of funny as it is. I mean, luckily with IndyCar, most of the early part of the season was kind of in the South and then the Midwest. And obviously, as things kind of opened up even further,
right. Here
we are finishing our season, Portland, and two races in California. So it's been fairly easy to get her to all those races, and it's been cool.
I mean, the Long Beach, the Grand Prix of Long Beach is just such a historic
big time
race.
Yeah.
Do you feel that history when you're out there on the course? I mean, what do you...
For sure. I mean, it's, 45 years or so, something around there.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think, too, that people in this area, you know, in Southern California, I mean, whether you're a racing fan or not, you know, if you say the Long Beach Grand Prix, people know, you know, and typically know it's April. Clearly we're still adjusting and it's our finale this year. Next year, it will go back to April, which will be good.
Right.
But it's cool because people appreciate, you know, what the event is. And it helped, you know, change that city too. I mean, when the first Grand Prix was there, Long Beach was not the best place to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's certainly improved a ton. It's a beautiful venue. The racetrack hasn't changed much over the years.
Yeah.
So the ride you went on is the same as the ride I'll get all weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been cool.
Yeah, I know. We just showed a video of me riding with Mario Andretti. He took me around, and I get out of, you know, the spin around with him, and I'm saying on the video, like, you do this for a living. What is the matter with you? I think I said that to you because you had just walked.
Yes, I think
onto
it
the
was.
Course at that time, and that's so. I guess it is. Unbelievable. What is it like to be behind the wheel of a car on a course like this one?
Well, it's tight. You know, there's no margin for error. Zero. But I think that's also, from a mental standpoint, that's what makes, I think, racing so intense and makes the driving aspect of it so hard is, you know, you have to memorize every single bump around there. And you have to memorize every single wall and apex and where I need to be. And if I hit this bump while I'm turning, it's going to move me this amount of feet or inches. And therefore, I have to give myself this kind of margin. But, you know, again, though, this place doesn't change that much. And luckily, the weather in Southern California is always good. So the track itself doesn't change.
Correct.
Those places that we go to, this place that we race, particularly in the Midwest, you get a hot summer, cold winter. You know, pavement changes a little bit. You go there the next year, and suddenly there's bumps that weren't there the year before.
So it's basically like course knowledge, like a caddy has a course book. Like, is there something like that for
you? Absolutely. Well, we don't have a book other than just notes that you may take on your phone. Or at the end of every race weekend, we do detailed notes to the engineers so that we know when we go back there next year, we're going to study this. And, you know, these are things that we may experience. And if we do, this is how we reacted and it worked or it didn't.
Right.
But yeah, everything, it is, you could almost use a caddy book if you had one, because every single corner, all the straightaways, even where you just drive down the straightaways. I mean, sometimes, you know, in our cars, because how low they sit to the ground, I mean, you hit a big bump on the straightaway, it can really shave off a lot of straight line speed. So, you know, where do you drive down the straights? You got to remember all of those things. Luckily, I've been racing on Long Beach for a while.
Yes.
So fairly used to it now. And, we're looking forward to a good weekend and hopefully finishing the season off strong.
Brockman, this is the point where you tell Graham that when you made a left, a right turn from the left lane into the aquarium, that you might have taken a chunk out of the road. Like, this is where I think you need to come clean, Chris. Because isn't that when you said you were prior to the Olympics here on NBC Sports on Peacock? we mentioned what we're all. We would win a gold medal if this was a sport, fill in the blank. What was your sport this year?
My Olympic sport would be, Graham, quarter mile or less to go. I'm in the far left lane, and I will cross over 3, 4, 5 lanes of traffic and make the exit
there you go.
On time.
So that's what he would win the gold in that.
Okay, I will make it every time.
Out here in L.A., you get a lot of practice with that.
Oh, gosh.
So you ought to be extremely good.
Absolutely. Well, just northeast. Just northeast driving.
You didn't do it at Long Beach, though. I mean, this man
I haven't done it at Long Beach. Okay. No, 405, 95.
Yeah.
Anything with a 5.
Experience.
Yeah,
experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine was 2-bounce tennis. Like, if you give me a second bounce of tennis, I would win the gold medal.
I actually agree with that. I like 2-bounce tennis.
Yeah.
That makes it a lot easier.
For sure.
And a lot more fun. I mean, 1-bounce is, I feel like 1-bounce for me, it's over so fast.
Could you imagine you get a second bounce?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Please, Federer. My ass.
Yeah, right.
You know, pretty much. I got Graham Rahal here on the Rich Eisen Show, and you're very nice. You brought this version
die of cast, yes.
This die cast.
That's the Indy 500 car. Look, so that's a special edition. We don't even sell those, Rich.
This is
so
very impressive.
Ooh.
Very special thing.
I love it, and it's got on it an inscription. Rich, happy birthday.
Because I was told it was your birthday,
it's all
Rich.
Good. No, you're a few months late, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Well, it's the first time I've seen you, so it's still valid.
And then what it says here, I think I read what it says with your autograph. Very much appreciated. Go Bucks is what it says right here, right? Is
that
what
it says? I don't think I could ever give you anything and not say Go Bucks.
It says Go Bucks on it, and you don't. When did you become a Milwaukee fan?
No.
Winning the championship.
Yes, you know where I'm going with that.
When did you start rooting
for Milwaukee? I'm not a Milwaukee fan.
Oh, you're not a okay.
I feel like saying go Buckeyes is very uncomfortable.
Understood.
That's way too long.
So I've got a trivia question.
When was the last time Michigan beat Ohio State?
No. No.
It's a little more current than that.
Yeah, it's more current.
Graham,
it's more current.
Yeah.
So you heard how Oklahoma and Texas joined the SEC, right?
Yeah.
Sort of upset a whole apple cart and started a domino effect.
Yes.
Where, you know, and Cincinnati is now going to the Big 12,
yes.
right? So a lot of dominoes moving. And so the Big 10 reached out to the Pac-12 and the ACC to form what they called an historic alliance.
Yeah.
Okay, there it is right there. There's the graphic right there. ACC, Big Ten, and the Pac-12. So in the history of the historic alliance, which is not vast, it's only a couple of weeks, which team won the first game in the history of the historic alliance amongst conferences from said historic alliance? Which one for the Big Ten came up with that one?
I'm going to guess it's your team.
That's correct. It would be Michigan.
That's correct.
And I'm writing it down to make sure that we remember it over Washington.
Well, Washington is terrible.
Well,
terrible.
I don't know if I would call kids who try and compete terrible, Graham.
Okay.
I mean,
a win's a win.
A win is a win. And I will say, look, I knew that this was going to get heated today because you guys look a lot better.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know what else to say.
No, we do. I mean, but,
we'll
again,
once they play Michigan State.
It's still early. But when you're trying to strike a blow on behalf of a conference and you get an opponent in your house from another conference in the Historic Alliance, you want to stand your ground behalf
I'm
of others.
So there's a lot of depression in Columbus, Ohio.
So then you
right
got
now.
You got the first part of the trivia question correct. Let's see if you can complete it. Which team failed?
Oh, I know that team.
In the first attempt at trying to win one for the Historic Alliance of the Big Ten. Which team
and
was that?
First team the first time we've ever lost.
Which team was
Oregon?
That? It's just the hint is they're inscribed on this beautiful cast iron car.
Yeah, I'm well aware, Rich. I didn't bring a lot of ammo for you today because
okay.
I do.
That's all I got. I'm out of trivia questions. Yes.
My whole season, and it's not even mine. But my as a fan.
Yes.
Is now just can we beat Michigan?
You know what? It's ridiculous.
That's really all I.
That's so stupid. It's so stupid. You got a whole schedule in between. Like the other games don't matter. I mean,
not
what is
really
that?
At this stage.
I mean,
that's the one.
That's it.
That's the one.
Because you know, it's, again, we don't live for it. We don't live for you. You know what I mean? We live for
going
a
to
season.
Rome and you know yeah. doing all these fancy things.
Yes, we're trying to live our life, but look. The number of times I'm already hearing it. I'm hearing it from you. I'm hearing it from others. And I'm about to hear it from you. Oh, the defense. You might be able to get us this year. I'm hearing that already. And I don't want to hear it.
With Ohio State even?
Yes.
Yeah, they were bad last year, too. And the year before that.
So you're concerned?
It's going to be a gunfight. I think it just comes down to who can score the most. And I don't know. You know, I mean, you may not have even seen this, but they just announced that C.J. Stroud, starting quarterback's out for this weekend.
Right.
So you're going to see two other... That's the thing with Ohio State. I will say, and you can even admit this, they are so young that I don't understand. Like, you have four freshman quarterbacks, two redshirt, two true.
Right.
I mean, at some point, you know.
All I know.
There's no experience there.
All I know is that there was a quarterback once upon a time in your school, not so long ago, who I was told, in fact, by Ryan Day himself when he called into this program, that he's really green. He's really green, and I don't know what he's going to be able to do. We're going to try and coach him up and all that sort of stuff. And he threw 50 touchdown passes. And this was after the green kid went into a game in the Big House when JT Barrett got hurt. Yep. And I thought, okay, that's good for us. And Dwayne Haskins
Lit Haskins
it up. So I
think he's going to – I hope that for Dwayne – like he
lit
was,
it up.
Dwayne Haskins is awesome. I hope that the Steelers are like some sort of a good opportunity for him to get outside of what happened in Washington because that kid had tons of talent. Now – he didn't play much in college, right? He only played one season and then moved on. And, you know, and obviously you got Fields who's going on hopefully this weekend.
Big
have a
weekend,
good first
man.
Start.
This is, I think he's going to be just fine. I think he's going to be really good, actually.
Smart kid. I mean, smart player. So,
look, I mean,
we'll see.
We just, Graham Rahal here on the Rich Eisen Show, we just established that Urban Meyer was quoted by the head coach of the Denver Broncos, Vic Fangio, as saying it's like playing Alabama every week in the NFL. Like, look, man, I mean, Justin Fields threw the entire route tree on top of Clemson.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was phenomenal.
Big time.
In that game. And Clemson's defense, you know, half of it's been drafted by the Raiders and Mayock pretty much over the last 2 years. I just think the moment's not going to be too big for him. He's back in Ohio, which I don't know if that will matter to him or not. It's in Cleveland. But, I mean, it's just there'll be Buckeye fans in the stands. I don't know if they'll be rooting for the Bears or not. But I believe in the
strong
kid.
I mean, if you look like jersey sales, what they say, he's third highest jersey sales since the draft. And, you know, he's a heck of a player. And, I mean, I don't know, man. I feel like, you know, Andy Dalton's had how many chances now, and it's just not working out. And I understand he got hurt, but, like, you know, Fields is a guy, like, I think Fields is certainly capable. You look at, like, what, you know, what Shanahan's doing with Trey Lance, like, just getting him in, letting him do some plays. I mean, he's been able to score. He's been a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Working him in. Like, I mean, it doesn't feel like Fields has really had that opportunity. Sure, he's played one or two plays, but not much. And it'll be interesting to see what happens when he can get in and just kind of play a whole game. The kid is so talented.
He is.
I mean, he is so talented. Like,
yeah.
There's no reason to believe that he, you know, if they want to say that he's not ready, then how are any of the other guys
ready?
Like, that's the thing. Like, are you ready? I mean, I guess you got to go and you got to play and you're going to learn. You're going to throw some picks. You're going to have some ups and downs. But I just feel like I feel it's a good opportunity for him.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see, you know, excited to see what he can do.
No question. I totally agree
with
you.
And I'm not even a Bears fan. My whole family's from Chicago. I find the Bears mostly annoying. Mm-hmm. Probably like people find Ohio State fans mostly annoying.
Yes.
But I am excited to see, you know.
Not to correct you, I find Ohio State fans completely annoying. Not mostly.
I'm sure you know,
and that includes you, who I genuinely like personally.
I'm sure you do.
And which is why I'm just going to tell you, you know, I think Justin Fields is going to be very successful. And plus, all he's got to do is just be marginally better than Mike Tomczak or Kent Graham, and he's the greatest Ohio State quarterback in the history of the NFL.
This was coming too.
So you know, so that's it.
It's just the
bar, you know, like there's a bar, and it's set like you know, it's down here, right? Especially when the bar being set by the greatest Michigan quarterback to ever play in the NFL. Like there's a roof here, and we got to go to the very top.
That's not even
like we got to go above. You got to. I don't even know if I can reach up.
Michigan. That's just the greatest. Quarterback
ever.
And I've told you this.
Yes,
I was not a Tom Brady fan at all.
Why?
Because he played in Michigan.
Okay.
And now I find like I'm a big Tom Brady fan because I'm getting older in my sport and in racing. You know, you age and man, the aches and the pains and how do I stay ahead of it? Now I'm competing with kids that are when I started, I was 18. You know, and now you've got kids that are 21, 22. You know, young that are doing this, and I'm right. like, you know, I how do I stay ahead of this?
Right.
And yet you see Brady. And you start to, as a guy like me who competes in a whole different sport, right? IndyCar racing, very different than the NFL.
No, but it's just.
But you can appreciate how has this guy been able to do it? How does he bounce,
yeah.
you know, back and forth? And we had a couple players come to the St. Pete. Scotty Miller was one of them.
Yes.
And asking him about Brady and the mental aspect. He said, it's all week. I mean, he pounded into everybody's head, Super Bowl week. We're going to win. This is how we're going to win. This is what we're going to do. And then, you know, you take that in my sport and how can I keep my mechanics fired up? How do I get my engineers, you know, engaged every single weekend? Mm. There's a lot you can pull, let alone the keeping your body healthy and all that stuff. But I found myself to be a big fan. I mean, he's not just the greatest Michigan quarterback. He's the greatest to ever play this. And if you look at the record, it's staggering. Like we have a guy in our sport, Scott Dixon.
Yes.
Who's the same. And if you look at Scott Dixon's record, you look at how many wins Scott Dixon has versus how many races he's competed in.
Yeah.
The percentage is ridiculous. Now you look at the amount of top fives he's had or top tens. Those records will never be broken. Like you can't, you know, it's like 70% of the time he finishes in the top 10 in a race. When you think in racing, how many DNFs you have because something fails or somebody punts you and takes you out or, you know, just all of these random mistakes that you may make. You look at his record and it's like Brady. It's just how do you beat that? You know, how do you? It's staggering, and so you find yourself being a fan and trying to figure out what you can learn from somebody in that position.
And the crazy thing is, you know, he was going to go to Michigan too. I don't know if you're aware of that. I'm sorry,
Scott Dixon?
No, I'm sorry. That was Jeter. My bad.
I was gonna say Scott
and Madonna. I'm sorry. My bad.
And just, Madonna.
You know, just all time greats. Just
Madonna
saying.
Did go to Michigan.
Oh.
All right, so I'm going to ask you, if Harbaugh loses to Ohio State or Michigan State this year.
He's not going anywhere.
You think he stays?
Of course he does. Yes, of course he does.
You really think he's the answer?
I don't want to, you know what? Here's the deal. I just noticed this. You have come in here, which I'm thrilled about, and you haven't said in a split, you haven't even said what are we going to do this November, because you're.
I've been waiting for you to ask.
I'm not going there. And because there's no more gear that you can put me in. Like,
yeah, that's the problem. Like, we've already run
like,
out of.
Exactly. Like we're done. Like I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I don't think.
But I'm not going to go there yet. I mean, I just like what I've seen so far. They're running the heck out of the ball. I might be accused of talking up an opponent, but Rutgers is 3-0, and you know Shiano's doing a good job. I know they are 3-0.
There's not as many weak links anymore.
Nope.
You know Shiano's going to do well. Maryland can play here or there. You know they're going to put up some points. Like
yeah, they got there's a lot of schools of that can own. Exactly
that can surprise you. And at the same time, it's like whether you're Ohio State, you're Michigan, whoever you are, you're always going to get everybody's best shot. Period. They're going to throw it all at you, and that's where like Shiano. Even with Rutgers last year against Ohio State, like he's throwing every trick play in the book at him.
No doubt.
You never know what can happen, but anyway.
Before I let you go, how's Letterman? How's he doing?
Letterman's doing well. In fact, I'll see him. I haven't seen him much this year, but we're doing a big charity event for my wife, my foundation called Vino for Vets up in Napa in about a month. And Dave's going to come out. He's going to kind of do a 20-30 minute MC event with a well-known vet to speak about PTSD and all of the things we're trying to raise money for. And So we're excited about that. He's never, you know, it's the first time I've ever asked him, you know, to do something like that, but he jumped right in. And, you know, he just calls me and says he's back to work. But I hear from Dave all the time. Every race weekend, tomorrow I'll hear from him, Saturday I'll hear from him, Sunday. You know, Long Beach is a big race, ends the season for us, and he's super engaged. I mean, he's watching, paying a lot of attention. Well, maybe we'll get, you ought to get him on the show.
I don't have words for it, to be honest with you.
He would do it. I'll bet you he'd do it. He's a big sports guy.
I would love to have him. And
he's going to talk about Ball State.
I do this for a living because of him. I'm serious. Like, that's pretty awesome. I mean, he is an idol.
That's awesome.
There is no doubt. And when I did the show as a guest, it was an out of body experience for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw the cue cards from that appearance, is what's hanging in my green room.
I did see that.
That is from that one time with Letterman. He's an all time, that needs to be said. And if you could just say anything to him, my condolences to him on Norm MacDonald passing away. I know he was a big fan of his, for sure. And it was the last comic to appear on his show on his run. So if you say that, obviously. But
I'll send him a message right when
lucky.
We get off here.
You're lucky, man. You're surrounded by goats. Send him a text. You're surrounded by goats. And thank you for this birthday gift.
Yeah, happy birthday.
I appreciate
it. 3 months late, happy birthday.
No, it's okay. My birthday was right when the Milwaukee Bucks won, so it's very nice that you included Go Bucks here on it. Thank you. Sure, I really appreciate that. Everyone check out, again, the Grand Prix of Long Beach, the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach is this Sunday, and go to GrahamRahal.com/VinoForVets to make sure that we all jump in and give as much money to your charitable contributions for a terrific cause. I appreciate you coming here, Graham. You're awesome,
thanks,
brother.
Rich.
Good to see you.
Great to see you guys.
Graham Rahal is here. Enjoyed that. We got an in-studio guest.
Yeah.
And the best thing about it is I'm emerging with nothing on the line in November.
Me too.
Cheese every time with this guy.
I'm not nervous this year. So I'm happy to.
We're back with Michael Smith in a second.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We've done this before with you.
Yeah.
I've got three social situations. You are the judge and jury as to what is done.
Okay. Okay.
First one is destination weddings. Okay.
It's already funny.
Destination weddings. I say to my wife, we're going to a destination wedding. We should not give a present because my presence is my present. What do you say, Larry?
First of all, where is the wedding? How far is it?
Another country.
Okay, you don't even go. You don't go.
But it's a close family friend.
I don't care. I am not flying 14 hours on a plane to somebody's wedding. I'm not going to do that.
Even if it's a nice destination where it's a nice hotel and you're set up?
No, 14 hours on a plane, you can't even breathe. Come on.
So what would be the distance from your house that you would...
An hour and a half by car. That's it. No plane. You don't get on planes for weddings.
Right.
Okay, out of the question.
Here's social situation number two for you, Larry David.
Sure.
You're going over to somebody's house.
Okay.
All right, let's say the fight, the Mayweather-McGregor fight. This happened to one of our producers, Ken Tulo, okay?
Okay.
They brought desserts. Fight ends. Nobody's touched the desserts. They like these desserts. Is it okay to take the desserts home?
Well, we did this on Seinfeld.
You did?
Yeah, the marble rye.
Well, the marble, okay.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
You bring it over. Do they know you brought it over?
Yes, they do.
Well, if they know you brought it over, then you can't take it.
But what if nobody's tried it? You know, it's not like a bottle of wine. A bottle of wine could be savored later on.
It's
perishable.
You bring it to the host, right?
That's true.
The host saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It's different if the host didn't see it, then you can sneak out with it.
So if the host never saw it, if you placed it on the table and there's no note,
yeah,
that's when you could take it.
If you think you're not going to get caught, yeah, then you could take it.
The problem is, though, Larry, is you never know what was looking. The eye in the sky
may
catch it.
That's the gamble, yeah. But if the host sees it, you can't take it.
All right, the last one for you, Larry, LD. Shoes off on a plane. Do you have a problem with somebody on a plane taking
shoes? I have a big problem with it, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Keep them on. Okay? You know, don't make yourself, it's not your house, all right? You're outside, you're in public. I don't want to see your socks. And God forbid you have a little odor down there. Who needs that, right?
And I don't even want to know if you do have it.
Exactly. It's close quarters. Come on. Take a couple of minutes, keep your shoes on.
So those who take their shoes off with shorts on and then put their socked feet up on the bulkhead?
Oh, God almighty. No, no, God. Oh, God. That is out. Yes.
The great LD. Curbs coming back in just 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Catch tons of Premier League excitement all weekend long on Peacock, including Cristiano Ronaldo and Man United against Aston Villa live Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Check out the schedule for more upcoming matches and go to peacocktv.com to sign up today. AFC Richmond not on the schedule, it appears. I don't know what's going on there. I hope everything's going on with my favorite football team there.
Music is that, Mike?
I don't know.
That's on it. That's the promo.
That's
music.
In it. Oh, okay. Well done. Well done.
Good job.
Brother from another's Michael Smith is joining us here once again to help us take us to his show with Michael Holly right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. What's up, sir?
What up, homie? What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's on your rundown today? What's on your mind? What's on the clock for you?
Oh gosh, what isn't? I'm trying to decide whether to share this, only because, okay, you know,
it's all right,
there's a chance things could change. I'm not holding my breath.
Okay.
But I'm going to go ahead and let y'all in on a little secret since we're in the trust tree. We're in the nest.
Okay.
The fastest woman alive may be joining our show today.
Oh.
The second fastest woman in history may be joining our show today.
Okay.
Elaine Thompson Hurrah.
Okay.
From Jamaica may be falling through.
Okay.
But the reason I'm not holding my breath is, let's just say she got a few things going on.
It's okay. No, it's
she's in the news.
Yeah.
So, you know, but for now, she's still on the schedule, so she's joining us.
All right.
During our weekly hit with our boy Chris Sims.
Okay.
Previewing WNBA playoffs as well as the latest in the ongoing Ben Simmons saga.
Well, we had Doc
so
Rivers.
Much.
We
oh,
had
no, Beckham's coming back. So much. Okay. And 20 years ago. Sorry, Rich. 20 years ago.
Yes, right.
20 years ago, the Earth shifted on its axis. So there's a lot to cover in Brother.
Yeah, you're referring to Brady.
That,
Brady getting knocked into the game, and obviously Michael Holly had a front row seat to all that unfolded in New England. We had Doc Rivers on.
I covered out of college. It changed my life.
Yeah. We had Doc Rivers on the show yesterday, and he was all, hey, you know, my comment about I can't answer that right now was blown out of proportion in reference to the question about, you know, whether Simmons could be a point guard on a championship team that was asked of him after that Game 7 loss. He also said that their intention is to keep Ben Simmons. They want him back. You know, Trae Young was 5 of 24 in Game 7 for a reason, that Simmons is more than just shooting. What did you make of all these comments from Doc Rivers yesterday?
Great interview. We used it at the top of our show yesterday.
Okay, great.
I love Doc, but in this context, Doc's full of it. Like my mama used to tell me, and like I'm fond of saying, I could show you better than I could tell you. Now, she used to tell me that within the context of about to smack me upside the head or worse, but I'm saying, where was all this since Game 7? Now, I know Doc's promoting the podcast, which sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Doc could have done this same media tour when all hell was breaking loose. But he didn't, because he showed us in that moment, in that emotional moment after Game 7, how he really feels. What he's doing right now is saying what's necessary, because they rather have Ben Simmons than nothing. But make no mistake about it, they would rather have traded Ben Simmons, but But the problem is, and we talked about this last time I was on the show, problem's Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey is the villain in this right now, because this could be over if Daryl Morey weren't assigning and affixing such an astronomical price to a player that they have helped devalue, a flawed player that they have helped devalue through this process. And now they want the rest of the league to solve their problem for them. I absolutely loved Joe Lacob getting fined $50,000 for reverse tampering. He reverse tampered yesterday and was like, nah, Ben Simmons don't fit what we're doing here. We're not in on Ben Simmons. That's 50 grand well spent as far as I'm concerned, because one, y'all ain't about to, this is Joe Lacob, y'all ain't about to use us as leverage talking about we trying to trade Ben Simmons when we're not. And number two, it's just a reminder, hey man, this guy ain't what y'all making him out to be in the market. And if I'm Ben Simmons, I'm not showing up to camp. Only, I mean, you could say all these whispery sweet nothings in my ear right now. I'm not showing up to camp. Fine me, suspend me, whatever it is you got to do. Because you say you want me now, but the moment it seems like Damian Lillard or Bradley Beal want to make a move, you shipping me up out of Dodge. You put me on the first thing smoking. And Rich, this is somebody, as in Michael Smith now, this is somebody who has had zero sympathy for Ben Simmons. I was saying Ben Simmons needed to be up out of Philadelphia before he passed up a dunk, before game seven. And Doc wants to talk about 5 for 24, emphasis on the 24. Because if I, because everybody was settled for Ben Simmons shooting 5 for 24 as opposed to not shooting at all. That's the problem. So, yeah, he's a great defender. Yeah, he's versatile. Yeah, he's 6'10". Yeah, he's all-star. Yeah, he's 25 years old. Well, if he's so damn good, why don't you keep him? They don't want to keep him. They just have no choice because Morey isn't going to win this trade, and he's the last one to realize it. He should have traded him a long time ago, and now media day and training camp is on the horizon, and they got to make the, they got to sleep in his bed that they made.
Well, I guess in, on top of all that, if Doc is saying this because he has to, you got to make it seem, at least from your own end, that you're willing to keep him and run whatever, you know, gauntlet you want to run with the local fan base over this, and, you know, and kind of show the contract. That was Doc's last comment, was, you know, by the way, he's got 4 years left on his contract, that the same way that the Packers kind of showed the contract to Aaron Rodgers, we're not trading you, or at least make it seem that way. So there could be, all you need is one team to bite. You just need one team to bite on Ben, and then he's gone. And then you can move forward.
I mean, listen, that's the fact that there's a contract, but that contract goes both ways. And at any moment, as we know in professional sports, you can cut or trade somebody, okay? But I know Ben Simmons is the employee. I get that. And they're saying, hey, he's under contract. We want him on the team. And if we want him on the team, he's going to be on the team. And if he chooses not to be on the team, we have recourse. Well, Ben Simmons' only recourse is to stay away. I don't believe that taking a posture of we want to keep the player is going to help them in negotiations, because the rest of the league really does know what time it is. They know he's available, but they know that Morey wants too much for him for a trade to make sense for the teams for whom it actually does make sense. Because not everybody is falling over themselves to get Ben Simmons. And the other part of it is with Aaron Rodgers, the Packers wanted him back. Even though, you know, Rodgers was made to feel like nothing more than an employee.
Right.
He was made to feel like the clock was ticking given the selection of Jordan Love. The Packers did want him back as quarterback. And it did, they didn't do anything to suggest that they didn't in the offseason. He was pushing for a trade. On the flip side, the Sixers, understandably so, were so frustrated with Ben Simmons and his lack of evolution that they threw him under the bus and only added to his issues in Philly. Some would say, hey, Ben, suck it up. Be a big boy. Earn that money. Go back to Philly. Be a better shooter. Win the fan base over. Be a championship point guard. Be a man about it. I get all of that. Everybody ain't built that way, though. And if you're the Sixers, I wouldn't want somebody who doesn't want to rise to the challenge. It's like, stop trying to win the trade. Take 60, 70 cents on the dollar and end this saga once and for all.
Michael Smith, I look forward to your show with Michael Holly. Appreciate the 2 cents right here, brother from another.
That's
coming
all
up.
That was 2 cents.
No, it was, it was
that's
outstanding.
What it was worth.
I always appreciate you bringing it. Thanks for the call, Michael.
10 cents will get you a cup of coffee, Rich.
Oh, it's a great cup of Joe. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Michael.
Be good, guys. That'll be good.
That's
thank
Michael
you,
Smith, everybody.
I mean, that was $1 million a game for $9.99, as Jay-Z sent.
I think he kind of summed up what Phil, you're saying, right? Like, go back out there.
I mean, it's the only way, but like,
well, he echoed what I was saying about Doc.
You know what? I thought, like, could you imagine also if Simmons went to the Olympics?
Right.
And played for Team Australia?
For sure.
Who wound up playing Team USA a couple times.
I could have used him.
What if, you know, the gold medal game, he's out there dropping.
That didn't help his
shots.
Optics either.
You know what I mean? Like, what if he had done that? But he didn't.
That could have changed a lot of what we're talking
about.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, it could have changed the dynamic, a paradigm, the whole concept of boots on the ground here in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thanks for taking in this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. For those on Peacock, stick around. We will literally take you to Michael Smith and Michael Holly's brother from another. Tomorrow's show, Emmanuel Acho, along with Lights Out Sean Merriman and the actor Corey Stoll from Billions and the Many Saints of Newark. We'll chat with you on Friday.